You know, what makes this business special is that it's actually local. Like, there's people who know these tours and activities. They've rubbed shoulders with tour operators. They've gone on the tours. We can speak to them with actual knowledge, not just like, you know, but a list of FAQs with an offshore team that's answering them. And so that became really special and differentiating to make that business successful.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is Travis Vaughn, the CEO of Tourbase, which again, wasn't sure what to expect from this one. Very interesting. Cliff, this might be the most fun brand we've ever had on. Is that, definitely. What do you think?
Well, I would say the most fun. Definitely. When people come to us and say, I want a lifestyle business, this is it. Like this is as close as you're going to get to social media travel influencer status. This is as close as you're going to get.
Experiential,
totally.
Lifestyle, fun day-to-day operationally. You don't need a lot of employees. You don't seem to have to be working a crazy number of hours.
Technology-based bookings, and you don't need to own anything. See, I misunderstood that. I thought we were tour-based. I thought we were creating an experiential excursion. We're not. All we're doing is bringing the technology to book people on other people's excursions, and we're taking a cut off of every booking.
That's
and
right.
That item 19, if that's accurate, that is a mind-blowing revenue claim.
We have not seen it. Whoever is going to look at this brand, make sure you take a look at it. But it sounds like that corporate location in Alaska is just killing it.
Yes.
And yes, we're not a tour company. It's a tech company. We are the advertising arm for tour operators driving traffic to them to sign people up. Very interesting.
Yeah. Caution, young brand. So let's just put that out there. Very young brand, embryonic stages of development. But this is worth listening to. Enjoy the show.
This is a fun one, though. Take us through the background, how this started. I think you have a partner. I'm assuming one of you is a tech guy. I mean, this is really a tech business, right?
Yeah, in the sense of people who join it don't need to be tech people by any means. But what we're bringing to the table, the value that we create through this is very tech-based. So yeah, I can give you a little bit of background. Really, it was my business partner, Drew. He's our CTO, the chief technology officer. And he's really the founder of the business model itself. So he got his start back in Alaska about 12 years ago, working as a marketing director at a tour company. You know, people would come by the hundreds off the cruise ships and go there and do their thing for the day and leave. And so he was marketing that, building website for them. He started building website for a couple other companies. And pretty soon was like, wait a second, like, why am I spending my time and energy building all these other people websites? So I can do it myself. I can get a centralized place that everybody books their tours and activities when they stop on their cruise in Juneau and Skagway and Ketchikan. And I'll send that business out to them and get a cut of it. Like, that's the essence of the business model. And what he built up over the next decade is turned into a really nice business. And in our industry, it's called an OTA, an online travel agency. So think of like a Expedia or Priceline or Booking.com. Those are the type, that's essentially what we're doing. But we are focusing that in specifically on the fun stuff, the tours and the activities. It's not the car rentals or the hotels. It's the tours and activities, the fun things to do when you're in a destination. And so, you know, Drew builds this business, builds the tech along the way because it requires a lot of connections, you know, to make all this happen and not have like to make a million phone calls and emails and be like, is there availability? So we had to build a lot of tech along the way so that what you see on our website is actually real time. Okay, hey, this trip's available tomorrow at 2 p.m. and there's 3 slots left, you know, so that it doesn't cause a bunch of overbookings. And then some other cool stuff along the way, like punch in your cruise ship information and it'll pull up each of your stops and what's available at that stop. And, oh, you have a child who's 7 years old. Okay, we're going to eliminate anything that's, you know, 18 and older. So it's very curated to that person's itinerary. And that's the tech piece that he built up over those years. Yeah. And you know, the decision, I think, as we got together, I joined 4 years ago, he and I looked at this and we got together and said, how can we take this and make it bigger than Alaska? Do we want to do it all ourselves and try to become another Viator or Get Your Guide or a couple of these are our big competitors in the space that have these massive brands. And we said, you know, what makes this business special is that it's actually local. Like, there's people who know these tours and activities. They've rubbed shoulders with tour operators. They've gone on the tours. We can speak to them with actual knowledge, not just like, but a list of FAQs with an offshore team that's answering them. And so that became really special and differentiating to make that business successful. And for me, I came from a background of microfinance and small business lending and really trying to help small business entrepreneurs to thrive. And so that was a really good alignment for Drew and I to say, let's go the franchising model. Let's take the tech, let's take the playbook you've built, and let's go give it to people who are in really cool destinations and let them have their own tour-based platform to grow and to own and run.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting. You could tell Airbnb has taken this seriously as well. Whenever I book an Airbnb, they're recommending local tours. You gave us a great quote here. Brian Chesky, the CEO, said, there's an Amazon-sized opportunity in selling experiences as part of a comprehensive travel planning service. Huge opportunity. But no one's really doing it locally the way you are. And that's the main differentiator, sounds like.
Yeah, I think what we're, an Airbnb does a good job of actually curating local experiences that you were talking about. That's the Airbnb experiences is that platform that's a competitor in our space. And I think they do a good job because you're actually getting people who are like, I love to, fly fish, or I love to hike. Like, let me go create a hiking tour and I'll walk around with people and show them this, my place. So that's cool. But at the other, that's not, it's almost like two mom and pop. Like, it's not, you don't have actual like legitimate tour operators who are running at scale on that type of platform. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got these giant players who are big international companies, and they just aggregate all the things to do in a single place. So you want to go to Viator and look up, Cancun, you're going to find like 10,000 things to do and 300 different variations of how to visit Chichen Itza. And you're just like, what do I do with this? Versus having that curated and saying, hey, I've actually gone down, I've done these tours, and I know these people are going to take really good care of you. And so it's that local experience and guide that we're trying to bring to the table.
So this is a new category for us, Justin, an OTA, an online travel agency. We have not had an OTA on.
It's not something I've ever heard of, yeah.
Even though we've worked with an iTrip, who positioned themselves as a technology company. No competition here. It's a high-frequency rental. But I think that would be as close. It is rare to have someone on in our world that says, yes, we're a franchise, but make no mistake, we're a technology company. Right? That's who we are. So just for the audience, Tourbase is the brand. We're talking to Travis Vaughn. This is a new category. I happen to love it because I'm big into that. When I get to a destination, I want to do fun things, right? Like, Justin, didn't you and I swim with the sharks and all that stuff?
We swam. We swam with the sharks.
With the whale sharks.
Whale sharks. I've gone to see pyramids. I mean, some of these things, it's like, I almost got killed. Right. Some of these are like the dangerous excursions. Some of these things are like, it's dangerous trying to get there. You're going through shady areas, right? It's like, I wish I had someone who I can kind of lean on for advice, because
I would agree with that. I hold back on doing certain things because I don't know who I could trust.
Oh, in like, third world countries, who's trying to scam me? What should I be paying for this? Different
currencies.
Who wants my liver?
Yeah. Who wants my liver?
Totally almost lost an organ in India once, 100%.
It's true. I'll tell you, man, I would love to go gorilla trekking. You ever watch these gorilla trekking Rwanda videos? I got to tell you, man, that's something like, if I knew someone I trusted and I could go hiking through that jungle and hang out with this family, wild.
There's so many incredible experiences out there.
No.
And it's... but it's surprisingly, despite the fact that we've got the World Wide Web at our fingertips, it's still hard to actually figure out what am I getting into here. And like you said, is this person going to be? Can I trust them? Are they going to be able to take care of me? And exactly. Is it going to be safe for me and my family? And that's actually still kind of hard to see when you're just searching purely planning a whole trip from the other side of the world. And so we try to be that in between layer. We're like, hey, we're on the ground, and we try to really lean into video as well. That's one thing you'll notice on our sites. And all of our sites are basically destinationtourbase.com. So if you go to cancuntourbase.com or policetourbase.com or glaciertourbase, and you'll see that we try to like almost have that Netflix hover over effect where you're going through the tours and you can, if there's a video associated with it, it'll start to autoplay and you can start to see like, okay, what's this all about? What am I, kind of get that teaser? Is this something I really want to do? And is this going to be a good fit for me based on the adventure level? Are there gorillas? How close to the gorillas do we get? And so that's a big differentiator I think we're trying to lean to in as well, that, that uses our tech platform and software so that people can actually kind of get that video preview before you book a big experience and commit a lot of your time and money.
So who's doing that? Is that the franchisee's responsibility, or are we asking the tour provider to provide some marketing materials, content?
Both. Yeah, both. Okay. So it's first and foremost on the franchisee to, after we've built the website out for them and they get that up and going, it's like, okay, now your job is to help create that differentiated, unique local content. So go on the tour, take an iPhone on a, you know, with you, and we teach you how to get some cool shots, and then we can help stitch those videos together. But so go get it yourself. I think that's always the best way, because then you get to actually experience the tours. But also make a request if that tour operator has a little bit of video, or they've got some shots of their guides talking, things like that. Like, we have sort of a playbook to help gather that content from scraping it off of the tour operator's Instagram page, having the tour operator snip over, and then you go get it yourself. And then from there, we use, you know, you can pay a ton of money for really nice high-end videos, but that's not, we found that it actually, that's not what people want. People want something that's a bit more real and even right. just a little bit more authentic.
Shaky.
And you can do that. So,
right. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, ideally we try to not, try to make it still feel and look good and smooth, but there's actually a lot of ways we can lean in, have a team that uses a combination of AI and humans and build that video for you. So you've got a nice 60-second little preview of that. So to answer your question, Justin, it's on the franchisee to gather some of that content, but then we give the tools and the support to just pull it together into a nice video that's displayed on the website.
I've actually never been on a pod where I pull back from some of my own experiences. I used to own parasail boats and jet ski rentals, and I happen to love, when I first became an entrepreneur, I wanted to sell either good feelings or solutions to problems, right? Your business is just 100% good feelings, and people will pay a premium for this stuff. What I didn't understand when I first learned of the brand is I thought that I had to be the parasail guy, right? I thought I had to be the let's go Roatan reef diving, and I needed the boat and I was taking them. What I learned about the brand, I'm learning now, is that no, as a franchisee, I don't need to own a single boat. I don't need to own a van. I don't need to own anything. What I need to do is get out there and meet the people in my, let's say, community, my city, that are providing these experiential trips, and somehow, and this is where I need you to fill in the blanks, somehow I'm creating this referral arrangement with them that when I book something, how I book it is another question, I'm getting compensated a percentage of whatever the booking fee was. Walk me through, you have to have AP, like we refer to Airbnb as an example, as a competitor. But wouldn't you have an API with them or with Expedia, right? So help me understand all that.
Yeah, exactly. So what we have is a bunch of APIs that are connected out into the booking systems that the tour operators themselves have. So they would, when you were running your business, do you remember if you were on any sort of reservation system like Fair Harbor, no. Peak, or is, okay. So
nothing.
He's like, guys, I've forgotten all everything there.
I'm dating myself, right?
But this was before computers.
This is before, right?
That's
no, it's not. No, it's not.
No,
it's, but it probably was. Just,
it's before Expedia.
Yeah, exactly. And OTAs, especially in this space, are relatively new in the big picture. Probably like the last decade, they've started to play a major role in the tours and activities space. Bigger in hotels and flights before that, or in the early 2000s and growing. But to answer your question, like the kind of the economics of it is when we bring on a new tour operator and say, hey, can we sell your tours through our site? We'd love to, you know, create this one-stop shop for the area for people to find, book the best things to do. We're going to send you incremental revenue, you know, that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten, because we've got a great network of travel agents and we're showing up on Google and whatnot. And so they say, yes. We collect those bookings from the traveler and we collect that money, and then we can just negotiate with them. And in the industry, it's usually around 20 to 25%. It's kind of a common commission rate. So the $1,000 booking, end of the month, they're going to get a check for $750. And that $250 that remains is what we get for sending them that business. So you're totally right. Like in our business, we're not tour operators. We're not tour guides. We're the people who are building trust and communicating that and showing up and making it easy for people to find great experiences and book them. And then we get the percentage for handling that. And the value that we create to those tour operators is, you know, they don't have to do customer service. They don't have to spend a ton of time and energy on marketing. I mean, they're going to continue to have their own direct bookings, right? But this becomes a new channel for them to bring in more business. Pay a discount, but they don't have to cover credit card fees. They don't have to cover marketing costs. They don't have to hire a new reservation agent to take all the extra phone calls for this additional 10% of volume that they're getting, kind of thing. So that's the real value prop to them.
It seems like a no-brainer. I mean, the 25%, sounds like a normal advertising expense, right?
Yeah, it's really, I think so. And I think what the fact that we have a lot of people who partner with us and are happy with us would indicate that that's a no-brainer. In, as an industry, the share of sales coming through online travel agencies is growing at a pretty good clip. And so part of that is just like, hey, we're generally better at digital marketing. So people find this easier in a world where you are looking on your phone to book connect activity. And a part of that is there's a lot of people who say, this just makes total sense. I mean, I know some tour operators who have like, I'm not even going to try to sell my own tour. It's that much. They're just like, I'm going to rely on OTAs to send me 100% of my business. It's that valuable to them. And then they don't have to have any sort of marketing efforts or time or energy. They love to run tours. So we fill up their seats and they go run tour.
As far as for the tour operator, it seems like a no-brainer to me, right? Again, it's like, I didn't get into this business because I'm passionate about advertising, right? I got into this business because I'm passionate about whatever tour I'm doing. And I want this to be fun for me. So just send me people. It seems like the hard part is finding the consumer. I mean, it's a website, right? I'm assuming there's an app as well. So how are we driving traffic? Now, you're the advertising company. How are you driving traffic to these websites?
Exactly. You're right. That's, I think the most important part of a franchisee is driving value there. Three main ways. One is, when you create is organic traffic. That's at the end of the day, that's a free way of getting business. And now it's really hard to do, right? It's hard to win on Google. And especially in this world where algorithms changing rapidly, AI is coming in and AI search is changing things. So, but the fundamental principle that's true for any business owner out there is like create the most valuable, helpful content and you will win. You pair that with a really good website. It's got all the technical fundamental things and we invest a lot of money to make sure that we do that. And you can win there. And so we've seen that where you start to, people start out in their first year, maybe they only get 500 visits a month to their site. And that's fine. But where we got to get to is keep pushing you up to where you're getting 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 free organic visits every month of people that are out there searching for, swim the sharks in Roatan or whatever it might be, those phrases you got to win for. And so if you're out there creating valuable written content, video content, like you're gonna win in organic because we structure these sites that are very hyper local, right? So Google knows that. They know that we're all about this one destination and they know that people are looking for this destination. So that allows us to compete there against some behemoths, the giants that are in the space. Second is, of course, paid advertising. Everybody's got to do it. We've gotten good at it. We help run, structure and set up those campaigns to be able to do paid advertising, just get people there. And the third that I'm most excited about this year is we've built some really cool tools for affiliates. And so that might be owners of a bunch of the small hotels in the area or property managers. And those folks face the same question every day when people come to stay there. What should I do? Tell me. And they're like, you got your front desk person or someone else like taking 5-10 minutes out of the day to be like, well, you could do this. And here's a brochure rack over there. Let me go point you to a couple of things. It's like, it's pretty clunky. And so,
right, a smaller hotel that doesn't have a concierge would just say,
exactly,
go to the tour-based website, call these guys and they can help you.
Exactly. And in doing that, maybe it's a QR code that they've got in their lobby, in the rooms, in their confirmation emails. And so it'll land people. What we do is we actually build a landing page for that hotel, right? So it's still got their logo. It's got their brand, their name. It's like, hey, when you come stay at the XYZ hotel, this is what we'd recommend you do. And they scroll down and they can see all the tour-based activities and they can book the tour-based activities. So it's like, it gives them the easy button for all these guests who want to go do cool stuff. And it still sort of feels like it's them, so it's like a value add to them and their guests is this nice slick website. And they can get some money off it too, right? So that's a whole other area where we can negotiate with them and say, hey, we'll give you X percent of these bookings. And all you do is just, put these QR codes in your room and get a check at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really exciting part for our growth.
It seems like you could do that with short-term vacation rental property owners as well. Like they all have like that little booklet that they put like on a coffee table of like things, you know, restaurants to eat at. They could just put like a one pager there with a QR code and, you know, here, the website will kind of give you all the information you need about the local events.
Exactly. So it makes it quick and easy for them. And, you know, on the website, they can also find all the written guides and the top 10 best restaurants and blah, blah, blah. You've got that stuff. But then when it comes to booking things to do, people can find it. They can book all the things in one spot rather than having to go out and, you know, book with three or four different tour operators. So it really simplifies the guest experience. And then those property managers who are running the short-term rentals are stoked because they're getting a little check commission that they wouldn't have otherwise got too.
So Cliff, this is one business. Like, we always talk about how most franchise owners don't want to do the grassroots guerrilla stuff, right? Mm-hmm. People just are afraid to get out there and press the flesh and hit the streets. And those are typically the franchisees that do the best. This is the business where I could totally see people wanting to do that. It's like, oh, you mean I have to go out and do local tours and meet, you know, people that way? I mean, it's kind of like a really fun business. To me, it's the digital part that would be the most intimidating now, right? Because I have to optimize my website and go up against a Priceline or an Expedia or some of these massive 800-pound gorillas in the space. So what is the franchisor doing? And then what does the franchisee have to do to make that happen? Like, are you guys doing it? And what's their responsibility?
Yeah, so on the franchisor side, that's a little bit of what I was talking about from like a technical SEO perspective. So in terms of all the code that goes into making a website that's easily readable, it's got information well organized, and it can show up when there's a program called Google Things to Do, right? So we're feeding every tour in there. And so when you search on Google, sometimes you'll see that it's almost like a little scroll bar as if you were buying shoes or something like that, but instead it's actual tours and activities. So it's not easy actually to get there. It takes a lot of work and a deep partnership that we've built with them to be able to show up on that Google Things to Do feed. So those are some of the aspects where we're structuring the information, making it really solid to be able to compete with the big players in the industry. From a franchisee's perspective, what they have to do is go out and get that local content, right? Like a Priceline is a massive company, but they don't have people on the ground, boots on the ground that are local and can actually go, maybe this tour doesn't have a video yet. A lot of tour operators don't have any video. They don't have a lot of content. You go out, you take that video, or you wrote up a little blog about like your experience on snowmobiling. Like, that's actually pretty cool because there's a lot of people who want to see that. They want to see that video. They want to read that firsthand experience of someone who's local and that they trust. And that combination of the franchisee creating the content and us creating the technical sort of tech infrastructure coming together is what makes that pretty unique blend for us to be able to win on the digital marketing side.
So I didn't hear that the franchisee is, they don't have to be techie. Justin, I'm confused because I thought you said that they have to optimize their site. The franchisee's not doing it.
It sounds like they have to create the content.
Yep.
They have to write the blogs. They have to make the videos, go on the tours, write up about it, make a video.
And with AI now, it's like, what are you writing? You're not writing anything. It's like you could do a really well done kind of recap of swimming with the sharks or Machu Picchu or hitting the Vatican. There's so much out there that I don't really know that a franchisee has to be that creative. I'll put that in quotes, right? Like, do you really need to be that? Do you really need to be a wordsmith? Right. Do I need to be a techie? No.
AI is more creative than I'll ever be. Exactly.
Well, on top of that, I'm giving it the content. I'm doing my selfies with all my sailing trips and hanging out at the Vatican or whatever I'm doing with these tours. I don't know. I don't find it difficult at all. I find it really fulfilling, a lot of fun. I don't know that there's a better way to live your life than to force yourself. Man, I need a new experience. I need new pictures. These pictures are old. I got to go fly fishing in Montana. Like, I actually want to do that too. That's why I kind of love this. There's so many things that I personally would like to do. Like, I love to learn how to fly fish and just like
here's my question though. We're talking about Chichen Itza, Machu Picchu, the Vatican, gorillas. We don't have any of that in the US. So where is this working? Is this working in a Charlotte? Is this working in a Raleigh, or is this only working in Whitefish, Montana, or like real major cities? Do you plan on putting this everywhere?
Yeah, that's the hope. And I do think it can work in major cities as well. And you'd see the fact that a lot of the major players are already in those big cities is indicative of, and you can see the volume that goes through them just based on the number of reviews of these different activities. Like it can absolutely work in cities. Now, what I'll say, I think a place like a Charlotte or somewhere that's like a little bit, maybe kind of like a secondary market, you know, it's not your like New York and Las Vegas and LA's, but it's still a city and it's still very desirable to go to and kind of people that want to go there. And so they're doing the boat cruises, they're doing the food tours, they're doing the pedal pubs and like all those activities totally. Are still, there's tons of stuff to do and ways to spend money.
Travis, I totally agree with you. I was in this world. I lived in Florida. I had boats on the Jersey Shore. I had boats in Marco Island. I bid on jobs in Naples, Florida. When people come to a destination, just drop a pin anywhere in America where it's a tourist area, they want to do things. I lived in Florida since 1988. I lived there and I left in 2003. I was never on an airboat tour until I ended up working at a company called Puriclean. And they're like, yeah, we're going to take some people out on an airboat tour. They're in town. Never been on an airboat in my life. Checking out alligators. So whether you're looking at alligators or you're doing wine tasting in Long Island or you're doing, let's go visit the Stars House in LA, or if you're going to figure out like where the Gettysburg and the Civil War battles were done in PA, there's a seat for every ass in this country to do these things. It's wide open. Wide open. I love that. People don't realize, like they think that this is like niche. This is a massive, you know, Justin, take a guess what the U.S. travel, the OTA bookings are in the United States last year.
500 billion.
Yeah, close. 422 billion. It's expected to grow. You're talking about CAGRs of like 10%, these businesses. You look at tourism. Yeah, you look at some of these numbers. They're absolutely astounding. If you just said, all right, that's everything. There's a rental car in there. There's all sorts of stuff in there. If you just broke out tour operators in this country, so excursion tours, $7.5 billion. But listen to this. This is projected to grow to $30 billion by 2037. This is the largest CAGR I've ever read on this show, 17%. 17% compounded annual growth rate in this conversation right now. Why? People want to live. They don't want to be in a cubicle. They don't want to sit in an office. People are tired of this shit. They want to get out and live their life.
Cliff, do you need a franchise development job? Because I think Cliff would be...
Travis, don't let me fool you. I get excited about everything.
Cliff is...
no, I'm just kidding.
But you're right, kidding. Though, with some of those numbers, in terms of... I hadn't heard the total sort of U.S. OTA stat. That's really interesting. Globally, the tours and activity space is right around $220 billion. 230 billion is what I've heard in terms of market size. So within the U.S., I would imagine that slices, you know, you threw out 7 billion. I think it's maybe a little north of that even.
But. Travis, the largest OTA in the world is Booking Holdings. Mm-hmm. They're a $166 billion company. And everyone listening knows who they are, Booking Holdings. Booking.com, Priceline, Rental Cars, yep. Open Table, Kayak. Like people, this is becoming a thing. A big thing.
I would think social media and Instagram are helping to drive this as well. Everyone has FOMO from people recording their experiences, and it's, people are seeking those experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're, I think.
Do you work with influencers at all?
We need to. We haven't done a great job of it yet. You know, I think our foray into social has sort of mixed results, because the tricky thing is that people love to look at cool experiences and watch them and like them. But finding the timing of like, are you actually going to come here and book this activity in this destination at this time, is there's a little bit of disparity there, right? Between right. Like getting followers, getting people who actually buy on your website. But that being said, it's absolutely becoming a more important way for people to search and find where they want to go and what they want to do is by watching TikTok videos and looking at influencers and finding, again, the firsthand accounts of people they can trust. Like it's the same premise of like you're building trust and finding watching cool videos and deciding what you want to do. So I think, again, that affiliate program I was talking about, it's not only short-term rentals, but I think the influencers has to be an important piece of that affiliate program, so that especially if somebody covers like a zone and they're an influencer for, you know, Nashville, Tennessee or whatever, people look to them to figure out what to do. Like we need them totally. Sending their people to our platform and they get a cut of it.
This there are very few opportunities that even come on the show or even in franchising where you instantly can expand internationally. Most brands, they want to true up the United States. They want to get their foothold in one country and do it really well. They can't even think about sending a sandwich to the UK or South America. This is a business where you literally, instantly, as embryonic as you are, let's be fair, you're a young brand. I think the audience needs to understand you are a young brand. You're emerging. We refer to you as embryonic, but I think you have a really long runway here. You literally could go to Paris right now and just start doing Eiffel Tower bookings and go to Rome, like just instantly.
And what's crazy. Cool about it is that in those international destinations, you know, you don't have to, a lot of people would start to be like, okay, what are the tax implications? What are that? Like, you can be a US-based business and you're simply promoting and sending business to operators in that destination. So I was chatting with a guy yesterday, he's really interested in Greece, and I'm like, Sapia, monster market. Like, you know, you think about all the islands and the cruises and everything in Greece. And you could be a US-based company that's just operating Greece. It doesn't matter what state you're living in. It doesn't matter where you're about. As long as it's a place that you know something about and are going to go visit and can, you know, rub shoulders with folks
make
and actually provide that local layer that we're in, that trust that we're looking for, then yeah, the world's your oyster.
That's wild. I had to look up the most visited cities in the world. Bangkok was number one. I was shocked. Yeah. Paris was number two, followed by London, Dubai, Singapore. New York was ranked seventh. I was shocked. And I was also shocked that the Eiffel Tower as a destination landmark is one of the most visited places in the world. 7 million visitors a year.
Sure. And I would say those, that's one approach, is just like, where are people going? And let's follow that. Those could be really big markets. I think there's also a lot to be said for places that are less sexy and sort of secondary, tertiary markets, because what you get there is a lot less competition. There's nobody else who's like doing digital marketing well, and it's hard to figure out what to do. And when you go to those places, those smaller—
Anyone going to Paris knows that they got to see the Eiffel Tower. It's the smaller market.
Yeah. Louvre.
And there's 500 different places you can book the Eiffel Tower, and you're going to be competing against all of the major OTAs and stuff like that. But when you start to get out to some smaller places where there's still people going, whether it's national parks or medium-sized plate towns, like, it's a little harder to find what to do and how to book it. And that's, I think, where the model can really thrive as well.
Yeah. Visiting the Grand Canyon is obviously, I don't need an introduction to that, but hooking up with a tour guide or horseback or a hiking trip and getting on the interior of it and really immersing yourself in the Grand Canyon instead of standing on an observation deck are two totally different experiences. I mean, so I like these types of tours. Do we talk about do we have an earnings claim? Did we talk about the total investment?
Let's talk about the operations of this thing. I agree. So item seven, Travis, $72,300 to $119,800. What's the range?
Almost all of that is going to be at the bottom end of that. We created a structure to sort of allow ourselves to charge a little extra for a really huge market. Like, say somebody wants to do New York City. We're like, okay, that's a big one. It's got tons of visitor volume. So there might be a sort of a... almost like a premium territory. It's an extra 10,000-20,000. To be honest, we haven't done that yet because we're more just excited about getting people into good markets, finding the right people that want to come on board, the handful of franchisees we do have. So to break down the fees a little bit, basically two fees to get you going. The franchise fee is 35,000. The second one is the website development fee, and that's 30,000. And so that's where we learn, like, okay, we don't want to make you do all this work up front. Like, we've gotten really good at it. We're going to do it ourselves. So that's getting your website up and live. We build those initial relationships with the tour operators. We get the tours on the site. We get the blogs starting to go, driving that SEO content. It's turnkey, paid ads, everything. So that when you go, you sign that franchise agreement, about 2 months later, you've got a website that's ready to roll and like be driving revenue on day one. And that's handed off to you. And then from there, you're taking it and going out and building more relationships and doing the tours and stuff like that. So it's really 65,000. I think that number says 72 because we assume that you might, you know, talk to a lawyer to review your FDD and buy a computer and stuff like that. But it's pretty much about 65 to 70,000 to get in. And then the only other big expense to think about is just what are you going to invest into marketing? How fast do you want to grow? And so, you know, are you going to put $1,000 a month into Google Ads? You know, put 2,000, 3,000, or like, it all just depends on how fast you want to grow and how successful we can be at doing digital marketing well with you.
Are people working from royalty, home? Home office?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Home office. There's no need for a retail. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't rule it out of the question. You could have I was talking to some folks down in Hollywood. They created like the go-to walk-in Hollywood store. So when everyone's walking around and everything, I want to figure out if like, what should I go do today in Hollywood? They're like the information. They're basically like the informational Hollywood center. I was like, that would be a perfect place. And just have little kiosks and be like, well, okay, you want to do X, Y, and Z, book it here. So that's about the only time I could think of having like a retail storefront, but otherwise just the 100% work from home, work from anywhere type of business. And then just one other important number, you know, for you guys, for anyone listening, the ongoing royalty franchise fee is 3%. And what we do with that is we just tack that onto the checkout fee so that the customer actually pays it. The franchisee doesn't have to. So, you know, if you book your $500 tour, then there's a 3% fee at checkout that nobody, that's included in tax and fees, and nobody bats an eye at it. And that way, essentially, you don't really have to pay any ongoing fees.
Very interesting. Okay.
3%. So your royalty, Justin, is that what it says on our site? I thought I saw a higher number.
It says a 3% royalty, which is interesting because, I mean, people don't even bat an eye at 3%. There's all these fees when you book or check out anywhere now. It's like, all right, just another 3% processing fee, whatever it is. It's paid by the customer.
I know. I'm tipping people in this country that haven't even done anything for me. I feel like I'm always tipping people.
Oh, not me. No, I'm done with that.
Oh, you are?
I'm so done with that.
I mean, every time I go somewhere, I become the owner of the POS system.
Yeah.
They just flip the screen. I'm staring at the screen. And it's like, tip me. You haven't even done anything yet.
And it's like, they're like, there's just a couple questions on there. I'm like, oh, what kind of questions might those be? Do you want to pay 20, 25, or 30%?
That's right. They're all defaulted. I love how, and they got greedy. Sometimes the default is 22%.
Now they're defaulting to 25% after gratuity's already been added that they didn't mention.
That is, it's crazy. So I agree with you. People, it's like, all right, it's a 3% processing fee. I get it. That's interesting. But you have a technology fee because you're a tech company. So that's separate. What's the technology fee to keep this thing going and evolving?
I think it's $200 a month. It's like, it's a pretty small, you know, sort of just kind of chips into the software. That budget, it's a little token there, but that's it. Is that ongoing couple $100 for that? And then, yeah, as long as that 3% is getting out of your sales, like you got yourself a turnkey business for about $75,000 with no ongoing fees.
Are there any employees? Are these people running them as like self-employment models? Like it's just me with a laptop and doing my thing and checking out local events or?
Until you get to a certain level of scale and your depends on your appetite for doing customer service. So that's the natural first hire in this business is as you start getting some traction, the bookings start coming in, that's going to come with some questions, some phone calls, some emails. Like we try to get everything so that people just self-serve on the website. And we've got a chatbot we've been working on that's going to be really help answer more questions and get people to book online. But there's probably 20 to 30% of your bookings that people are going to want some sort of like question answered or talk to a human or email or stuff like that. So that's the first hire is a reservation agent, like a part-time or full-time reservations person that can be, they can be anywhere too. And it's all they have to do is have some knowledge about your area and the things to do. And they can answer questions and help upsell people to book a second, third activity. So my partner, Drew, who built this Alaska business up into a really nice size company, he's got maybe four or five reservations agents. They're working full-time in that business to manage a pretty large business. But I think most franchisees are realistically, it's going to be them and maybe that reservation person for the first couple of years.
Is Drew's business in the item 19? Do you guys make an earnings claim based on his performance?
It is exactly. That's what we've used to kind of get going. It's just because we wanted to show some sort of like understanding of like, how do you, you know, what could this turn into for me? And so it's really the Alaska Shore Tours is the name of that business that we show in the item 19. And we haven't gotten into showing our first few franchisees yet in the item 19, just because they're early days and starting to build. But hopefully, you know, in the next year or two, that's a spot where we'll be able to show everybody's, you know, income and so that people have a better understanding of what does that growth trajectory look like. But yeah, you can go.
What's he doing?
Are you going to spill the tea? Come on, man. What's he doing?
Well, I'll leave that for jump people that want to get to the level of just checking out the FDD. And of course, I'm happy to send that over to you guys. But it's I could tell you that I think that business that maybe does like 30,000 guests a year, 40,000 guests a year. So that's kind of just to give you a rough sense of like the kind of volume that's going through there. And those are pretty high ticket item tours too.
What's a typical booking?
People, I want to say the average booking there is around $1,400. People are going on like, you know, helicopter dog sled tours, things like that. Depends on market to market. You know, stuff down in the Caribbean might be more like $350.
Right.
For an average booking, because you've got to, you know, when you guys go swim with the sharks, you're probably paying $80, $90, $100 a person, right? And you got a family of three or a bunch of couples. Sometimes you get big groups of 10, 20, 30 people. And
right.
So yeah, average order value is going to be somewhere between probably, you know, $300 and $1,500, depending on the market that you're in.
30,000 bookings.
That's insane. All run through your tech.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So yeah, if the average ticket is $300, let's take like the low end. This is a $10 million business.
Well, I'll let you guys do the math, but yeah, you're in the head in the right direction.
Yeah, no, obviously refer to the item 19 in the FDD and look at the numbers there. But that, I mean, listen, at Alaska, I'm sure he's kind of in with the cruise ships and the local tours there. It's a great market, but that's very impressive.
Yeah, it's the type of business where we got to, you know, at the end of the day, relative to some other businesses, the margins end up getting shrunk down because, you know, you're taking 25% of that and a lot, you've got a big cost of goods sold that you're paying out to the tour operator. They're the one operating the tour and doing all that hard legwork there. And they deserve that. And then so then from there, you've got, you know, some credit card fees, you've got to pay for marketing dollars. All that's going to end up whacking away at those margins.
Sure.
So we've got to get people to a place where they're not thinking about, hey, I'm happy with a business that does $500,000 a year in revenue. Like, that's not going to cut it for them. It's not going to cut it for us. We got to get people that are thinking about getting to that million, 2 million and beyond.
Definitely.
Okay.
Mark, to really make this
okay,
a business that's worth their time and worth our time.
All the money from the bookings goes through you. You are cutting the check to the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're the merchant of record.
So you're controlling... Got it. Yep. Okay. So the event place is saying, hey, I need my $4,000 for the zip line, you know, tour. It's like, yeah, you're getting the money from us. We're keeping our cut. So you're never, saying it differently, you really have no account receivables because you're controlling all the money. You have all account payables.
I think the hardest-
And you keep your cut.
Yeah, that is a little bit of one of the challenges is, and it's like a blessing and a curse because in many ways we get this like float where people pay, and Alaska's a good example, people book their tours five, 6 months in advance, you got a bunch of money up front. That is cool because you got a bunch of money up front, but then you have to remember, hey, we have to pay this out later or COVID might happen. And also you get all these cancellations. So you got to be really careful with your cash flow management too, to not spend all of that when you've got payables, like you said, that are going to come due in months later. So we've got tools to be able to measure and monitor that, but it's, you're right that there's, it's kind of cool. We get the upfront pay. Payments and then
how about like travel insurance or tour insurance? Is there other revenue streams other than just the booking and the
you make a good point. We have up in Alaska for a while we're doing actually I think they're still doing the cancellation insurance because up there they get a lot of weather, so you know, you might spend a bunch of money on a helicopter tour that ends up not being able to go out due to weather or something like that. So if you want to shorten that cancellation window so you can get 100% refund up until, you know, the day of the tour, day before the tour, there's an additional option where you can get some revenue from that as well. Where it doesn't, for the rest of our markets, it doesn't work that well because we offer mostly 24-hour cancellation policy in an effort to be competitive and in an effort to give the customer like a really cool option, just like, hey, book this, don't have to think about it. Like 3 days in advance, something comes up, cool, but you know, cancel it, get your money back. So there's no room to like sell any further cancellation because we're already giving a really, really good cancellation rate. So it just kind of depends on the market and what typical cancellation rates might be.
Right.
There's opportunities to upsell there.
Yeah, there's all the, man, I made money just selling t-shirts and taking pictures of people. We were making money doing all that stuff, just selling all the, you know, the fun touristy things that people want. You know, I survived the zip line or I survived this and I did that. People love that stuff.
And that's, you know, I mentioned to you before, there's a couple of businesses out there that rely pretty much 100% on the OTAs to send them business. And what they do is they get that business in the door. They get a bunch of volume at a low margin, right? Paying a hefty commission to these OTAs to send a business. But then as soon as those people get there, they're upselling them on the photo package and the t-shirt or right. the in-person stuff. And so they're basically just getting a ton of volume without doing any marketing. And then once they get those people in the door, they can get an extra $10, $20, $50 out of them from some upseller or the other. So yeah, that's a good strategy.
I like Travis, it. Is this like an incredible Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 lifestyle business, or is it not because the tours are happening on the weekend, so you're going to be busy while the tours are happening, or does that not matter?
I mean, I have found it doesn't, there's not like a busy day versus a less busy day. So I think lifestyle wise, you can set this up to where, you know, you're maybe investing 20 hours a week into it, right? And then you bring in a reservations agent or maybe a couple part-time reservation agents that can be on your phones. You know, let's say one person's on the phones and taking those emails and helping people out Monday through Thursday, and the other person's right into Sunday. So you've always got somebody that's on. Hopefully that's not you after you built this business up a little bit. And then you can just be the one that's making more strategic decisions. Hey, how can we build new partnerships with local hotels? What ad campaigns are working well? What should we invest more in? What type of content is there? Do people want and need that we should go? I'm going to go do this tour next week and make a video and put it on. So I don't think it's the type of thing where you need to spend it much more like, yeah, have a busy day or always be on the weekends, for example, because everybody's going out on the weekends. It's a pretty 7 days a week type operation. Yeah. And you just got
Monday. Monday is Saturday. Tuesday is Saturday when you're on vacation. Like they're all the same day to me. Every day is a weekday when I'm on vacation. Like, I'll book something on a Thursday because Thursday is Saturday, right? It's the same thing to me. And I found that in my business, you know, you're parasailing as much on Thursday as you are on Friday and Saturday.
I think the tour operators,
jet ski rentals and tours.
Yeah. And some of the tour operators feel that weekend, like let's say Nashville, I mentioned earlier, you know, they're going to feel this like Friday to Sunday. The tour operators are slammed, you know, because everybody comes in town for their bachelor and bachelorette parties. And
right.
So they've got a little bit more of that, like weekends are crazy and we're on. For us, since we're really more this like marketing arm for them in many ways, it's a pretty like smooth day-to-day experience.
This is good.
Yeah. One thing I didn't want to mention, Cliff, just because you talked about being a tour operator yourself and being, you know, jet ski boat rental company. That is one market that I think we're really excited about for finding new potential franchisees. Is like, it could absolutely be somebody who's like, hey, I had the corporate job, I want to be done, I want to go travel and have kind of this cool part-time lifestyle business. But I think also if there's people who are already tour operators, we're really excited about helping them become like the go-to place for people to book all the experiences in their destination. So like we're talking about Grand Canyon, right? I think that's like Flagstaff and Sedona. Now, so let's say you're already there running Jeep tours or something like that. Now, if you open up, you know, Flagstaff Tour Base or Grand Canyon Tour Base or whatever it is, like you could not cross sell all of your Jeep customers and be like, oh, do you also want to go do the horseback riding thing? You don't have to be that tour operator, but you can make 25% by selling your buddy's tour or vice versa. You start getting all these people who are coming and booking not Jeep tours. Mm. You make money. And then of course, you've got 2 months leading up to that and you're getting these people ready for their trip.
I see the angle.
Come check out my Jeep tour too, so you get to cross sell your own product. So I think it could be really cool for tour operators to kind of have this as an adjacent business to their own thing as well.
Right. It's a great way to expand without actually expanding.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm in the boat rental business, but yet I just booked ATVs. You know, I have nothing to do with the ATVs because I happen to buy this franchise. I own the boat business. That's mine. But I bought this as an add-on, a little bolt-on business to expand my revenues and my reach and my marketing. And I'm making money off of helicopter tours and ATVs, which I have nothing to do with and I don't even own a single item. Yeah, I do like that. It's the ability to be in a helicopter tour business without owning a helicopter.
And it can create, you know, I think a lot of tour operators, they work so hard, right? It's hard to do that. And I think many of them are like after a decade, like, okay, I maybe want to be not, you know, dealing with like flip ATVs on a daily basis. So it provides a pathway for them to be like, okay, let me get into this business where I can start driving revenue and eventually step away from the day-to-day operation for being a tour operator. So kind of appealing appealing transition there too for them to scale their business.
It is. It's, yeah, I like it. And we would refer to it as a bolt-on. It's like, look, you're already in this industry. I have an idea for you. It's like, what are you doing now? No, I don't want to be more into that. It's annoying. And everyone's bumping into each other in the boats and one got stolen. And, you know, they have all their complaints when you're living in these businesses. No, you don't have to buy anything. Yeah. It's interesting. I liked learning about your brand. I think it's very cool. It's fun. It fits right into the things that I happen to love, right? Good feelings, solutions to problems. This business is growing, which I just stated very clearly. There's a huge growth component to this where people in COVID, they reflected on their life. They also saw mortality, even if you were 30, because you're basically being told you're going to die. That's all they did, right? It's telling you, if you don't get this, you're going to die. So everyone's like, holy shit, I haven't even traveled yet. You're already telling me I'm going to die. So all of a sudden, everyone hit the reset button, said, okay, I'm done traveling for work. I'm going to work from home. I'm moving to Montana because now I'm remote. And I think that that giant reset button is still in play, and you can see it in the travel industry growth. I also have a family member in the hotel industry. He works with IHG. And what he's explaining to me in terms of hotels that they're building across the planet is telling you the demands that are on travel, entertainment, excursions. I'm blown away. This guy lives on the road 5 days a week, just touring around the globe to hotels. So I'm like, man, he goes, Cliff, the growth since COVID is just remarkable. Like, we have blown away 2018, 2019 numbers. You know, everyone was trying to get back to pre-COVID. Just like, we blew pre-COVID away, blew it away. Mm. So there is a big push to live. That's the word, right? There's a big push right now to live your life the fullest and get all these experiential things. Can you imagine being on this call and it's like, what have you done? Nothing. Can you imagine actually asking us or us asking a person, it's like, what have you done that's fun in like the last 2 years? Nothing. That's sad. It's like no fly fishing, no skiing, no hot air ballooning, no going to like Machu, no hiking, no biking, no nothing. No, man, I work. That's a problem. That's why I think your business is great. This was fun. I enjoyed it. Justin, you want to close this out?
I think it's cool. Yeah. I think also, for the consumer, people are wanting to travel and experience things more. We're also seeing it from the franchisee. Franchisees are looking for time. They're looking for lifestyle. They're tired of sitting in the cubicle. They want quality of life. And this accomplishes that as well. So
I agree.
Reasonable investment. Once you get this thing rolling, you're not grinding this out 60 hours a week. I mean, it's like 15, 20 hours a week, I would think. And clearly it could be scalable based on the performance of the corporate location. So I think it's very cool, man.
Thank you guys. Well, it's awesome to talk to you and feel your palpable excitement. I'm super excited about myself. I do think it's a pretty unique and a pretty fun business. And we're hoping in the year ahead, now that, you know, we spent our first couple of years really dialing in the tech and the processes and feeling really good about that now. And now we're kind of ready to put the efforts out there to get more people on board. So appreciate you guys having me on and just your excitement for it. So Cliff, when you're ready to get back into the tour business, you let me know.
You got it, bud.
Thanks Travis.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe for more great content. And if you're thinking about investing in a franchise, whether it's the one you just heard about or another opportunity, reach out to us at cliffn@franocity.com. That's cliffn@franocity.com. We look forward to working with you.